What, the Pope dropped the F-bomb? Jerry Bader Show. Pope Francis dropped the Italian equivalent of an F-bomb during Sunday's address from the Vatican's Apostolic Palace. No need to wash out the Pontiff's mouth with soap, though. It seems the swear word was a simple slip of the tongue, NPR reports. Francis, speaking in Italian, not his first language, Spanish, said the Italian version of the king of bad words. He was attempting to say caso, which translates into example or case. The Pope corrected himself immediately. I'm sorry, but that's hysterical. These things happen. A translation of the unfortunate error was posted to the local. If each one of us does not amass riches only for oneself, but half for the service of others, in this F-bomb, in this case, the providence of God will become visible through the gesture of solidarity. Okay, so this was a mistake. I thought we had finally found something that was enough to bleep off the Pope. But apparently, all these things happen. So much for that infallibility thing going on there. And I know that's not what the infallible thing means. Don't call and correct me. It's a joke. Anytime the Pope makes a mistake and I say so much for the infallibility thing, I get a well-intentioned email from a vet. Well, Jerry, that's not what infallible means. I know. All right. There was something else I want to mention before I get to Ukraine, and I can't think of what it was now. I'll think of it, unless I don't think of it. As you know, the tensions continue in Ukraine. As you know, I and others have been extremely critical of President Obama for not accepting the proposition that Vladimir Putin wants to re-engage the Cold War. And yesterday, we played it for you. I know Sean Hannity played it, and Rush probably did too. The soundbite from 2012, the debate. By the way, that debate, I believe, took place on the 50th anniversary of JFK's Cuban Missile Crisis speech. Talk about the irony. Where President Obama mocked Mitt Romney for saying that Moscow, or Russia, was the biggest geopolitical threat, not national security threat, geopolitical threat. He was absolutely right. Absolutely right. And now you have this standoff. Wall Street Journal has a couple of things today. One, a straight news story, and another, a piece by Brett Stevens, pointing out how the West screwed this up. And by the way, whenever you say the West screwed it up, I put it entirely on who's ever in the Oval Office at the time, because the President of the United States, since the end of World War II, is seen as the leader of the free world. So when the Western world, the free world, fails in foreign policy, I put it on he who is supposed to be the leader of the free world, President Obama. Let me just read a little bit of this. Now, this is from the Wall Street Journal. Now the U.S. has been drawn front and center at a far more difficult time after blood has been shed, battle lines drawn, and Russian ire provoked. Locked today in the very East-West standoff the Obama administration had hoped to avoid, the U.S. is now in the lead, a senior U.S. official said. Now listen to this. Many European diplomats felt that while the U.S. portrayed itself as acting tough in recent weeks, the Americans had left them alone on the Ukraine issue for far too long, preferring to prioritize Washington's own ties with Moscow. The White House decision to rely on Europe. Now listen carefully to this. Listen very carefully to this. The White House decision to rely on Europe to cement ties with Ukraine was shaped by a foreign policy doctrine meant to give international partners more responsibility for the world's challenges. Lead from behind. Lead from behind. And they deny this is their philosophy, and it is. It was shaped by a foreign policy doctrine meant to give international partners more responsibility for the world's challenges, U.S. officials said. That's lead from behind. By divvying up responsibilities, these officials said, the U.S. could focus on issues at home after more than a decade of costly wars abroad. In other words, isolationism. We don't care what's going on over there. Let them handle that. There was also initial skepticism within the Obama administration that Mr. Yanukovych was serious about moving toward Europe. Few administration policymakers believe Ukraine should be an American responsibility because the issue was more important to Russia and Europe than to the U.S. Wait, there's more. Strategically, the Obama administration decided to take a back seat to Europe because of concerns that assuming the lead in Ukraine might backfire if Russia saw the European Union pact as part of a superpower great game competition. Even with Russian troops streaming into Crimea, administration officials said Monday, it wasn't clear if the outcome would have been any different had the U.S. taken a bigger role from the start. Are you kidding? We are a world laughing stock. Brett Stevens addresses it this way. The liberal press is now filled with news analyses about America's limited policy options, beyond perhaps expelling Russia from the G8. Nonsense. In Russia, the historian Dietrich Geyer once wrote, expansion was an expression of economic weakness, not exuberant strength. Mr. Putin's Russia is a petro-oligarchy whose survival depends on high oil prices and privileged access to the West for the politically connected elite. Raise interest rates, investigate the finances of Mr. Putin's inner circle, impose travel bans on Mr. Putin's cronies, and broaden the scope of the Magnitsky Act, and we'll see just how resilient the Moscow regime really is. In other words, cripple their economy, which we can do. Now, the counterpunch argument there is that natural gas and other petrofuel that Putin has and serves Western Europe is his counterpunch. Yeah, but he can't afford not to sell that either. He goes on. Only a president as inept as Barack Obama could fail to seize the opportunity to win or even wage the new Cold War all over again. That's exactly what this is. Secretary of State John Kerry is speaking now from Kiev. We'll take a minute of it.
And those who lost loved ones, who bravely battled against snipers on rooftops and people armed against them with weapons they never dreamt of having. These brave Ukrainians took to the streets in order to stand peacefully against tyranny and to demand democracy. So instead, they were met with snipers who picked them off one after the other as people of courage, notwithstanding the bullets, went out to get them, drag them to safety, give them comfort, expose themselves. They raised their voices for dignity and for freedom. But what they stood for so bravely, I say with full conviction, will never be stolen by bullets or by invasions. It cannot be silenced by thugs from rooftops. It is universal. It's unmistakable. And it's called freedom.
Yeah, actually, it can be taken from them. That's all the time we have. It can be taken from them if they don't get help from the Western world, Secretary. And I think Brett Stevens has it exactly right. Only a president as inept as Barack Obama could fail to seize the opportunity to win or even wage the new Cold War all over again. He doesn't realize we're in a new Cold War. His surrogate said as much a couple of Sundays ago. It's 10:30.
The Jerry Bader Show.